China's consumer crackdown.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. The other day it was Germany's Audi, this week Mercedes, and now Japan. Today China levied more than $200 million in fines against a dozen Japanese auto parts companies. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is on the line from Shanghai with some context here. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Now, I think these were the largest fines on foreign companies in China since the government there rolled out new antitrust laws, what was it, about 6 years ago now?
Yep. And, you know, part of China's economic reform package is a push to regulate these big ticket industries like the country's auto market, which is now the world's largest. And part of this is to dole out big penalties for companies who are engaged in price fixing.
Now, this car parts and maintenance investigation seems to be focused on foreign companies. We've seen China's government target foreign companies in other industries this year as well. What do you think? Is this another case of let's pick on foreign companies?
Yeah, you know, some industry insiders are really griping about this. You know, this year China's gone after foreign pharmaceutical companies, foreign PR firms, you name it. But this investigation into the auto industry began 3 years ago. And when you look at the cost of foreign auto parts and automobiles here in China, it is surprising how much more expensive these things cost here. I spoke to CLSA analyst Scott LaPrice about this today, and here's how he framed the investigation.
If we look at it from a U.S.-style consumer protectionist view, what would you think if you found out your car was being sold two, three, four, you know, in the case of some cars, five times more expensive in another country? Aren't you taking advantage of that country?
So, David, in some ways, you know, this investigation into the auto industry in China is an effort on the government's part to try and protect Chinese consumers. You know, they are the largest and fastest rising consumer group in the world, and they're starting to demand more safeguards from unfair business practices.
Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
We've been reporting on a spike in building new houses and apartments in July. And if you look at new home construction January through July, despite the awful winter weather, housing starts are higher this year than last. So builders are optimistic. But who is buying? As Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, not too many first-timers.
Historically, if 10 new homes showed up on your block, new buyers would snatch up three. Now it's just 1.5. That's according to David Crow at the National Association of Home Builders. He says young buyers getting into the market face unstable jobs and lower incomes and stingy banks.
Criteria are tighter now, and that's the age group that usually falls out if you are restrictive in terms of credit scores.
Thing is, new buyers are a key to unlocking the whole market. Why? Susan Wachter at the Wharton Business School explains. At some point, she says, lots of first-timers will buy existing starter houses,
which will allow those who are in their homes still not getting the price they want, they'll be able to sell, then they'll be able to buy the new homes.
It's a cascade. And right now, new demand has to flow in. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
School teachers are generally not paid when the school's closed for the summer, although sometimes they divide up their school year salary so that the paychecks keep coming over 12 months. During the time off, some teachers have been building software programs and websites that are helping to create the classrooms of the future. Marketplace's Adrian Hill covers technology in education for our Learning Curve series.
Laura Fenn was teaching fifth grade in North Carolina when her school cut back on PE and recess.
They actually started to count walking from the classroom down to the cafeteria as physical activity time.
It gave her an idea.
The basic format of it is that students listen to educational podcasts while they walk.
Our topic for today's walk is idioms. When you said you wanted to get something off your chest, that's not what you
meant. Fenn's nonprofit, the Walking Classroom Institute, is now her full-time job. She's one of many current and former teachers developing digital classroom tools. No Red Ink, Better Lessons, Smarter Cookie are just a handful of ed tech companies founded by teachers.
But it's not until you're actually in the classroom that you realize and truly understand the pain points.
Benjamin Levy got frustrated that educational videos weren't more interactive. Now he's CEO of EduCannon, which lets teachers add questions to online videos. High school physics teacher Peter Bohatchik was stymied by teaching physics from a book.
Physics is about the analysis of an event, not a abstract, contrived text description.
So he and a partner created direct measurement videos, which allow teachers to illustrate the basics of physics, from the speed of sound to Newton's second law. Bohatchik's videos are free online. He wants to keep them that way. But others see the booming market for educational technology and want a piece of it. $8 billion and growing. And a new distribution model.
As a teacherpreneur, you can probably very easily get it in the hands of other teachers, especially if it's, say, free, which appears to be the most many teachers are willing to pay for an app these days.
Frank Catalano is an EdTech industry consultant. He says the challenge for teachers is the challenge for most educational tech startups, turning a good idea into a sustainable business model. So you teachers out there, it's time to put your problem-solving skills to work. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
For all of our coverage of education and tech, you can go to marketplace.org/learningcurve. And you can add this to your morning routine of taking your vitamins and making sure the phone is charged. Check to see if your car has been recalled. Today, auto safety regulators are unveiling a new online search tool, safercar.gov. You'll need that 17-digit VIN number from the bottom edge of your windshield. Cars and motorcycles, but not trucks. This year, 43 million vehicles have been recalled. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.